Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الكريم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله تعالى we'll continue our seerah sessions and I believe this is almost session 36 so today we'll continue إن شاء الله تعالى the battle of Badr we did talk about this battle for in a couple of series in a couple of sessions because it is a very, very important occasion that happened in the history of Islam. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it Yawm al-Furqan. It was a decisive day with all means. And this day was planned completely by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Surah Al-Anfal to describe and explain the deep details of this battle. And we did talk about the army, the Muslim army of this battle, which was almost 315. That was a victorious army with all means. And we did talk about the features of this army. We did talk about some of the features of this army, why this army was a victorious army, and why this army deserved the victory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed on them in the Battle of Badr. And on the other hand, we were talking about the army of the mushrikeen and the issues that came with the army of the mushrikeen. Even though they were almost, their number is three times the army of the Muslimin, yet they had a lot of problems, a lot of issues that made them defeated in this battle. So we did talk about these features. We also talked about the way the Prophet ﷺ was collecting the information about the mushrikeen. We did talk about the intelligence department that Rasulullah ﷺ established in Medina. Right after he migrated to Medina, how he established that intelligence department to collect and get the information about the caravans of Quraysh, about Quraysh, about anything has to do with Quraysh. And we did talk about one of the incidents to collect this information that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhum, both of them, they went outside the surrounding area of the Battle of Badr to collect more information about the army of the mushrikeen, their number, their equipment, all of these details. This is showed us that it was not a haphazard state that was established in Medina. No, it was a state that was very well organized by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has departments, it has army, it had the constitution in Medina. He did establish relationships between the Muslimin and non-Muslims, between the Muslimin and the Yahud. We need to talk about a deep detail about a state. That state, we said, that state, later on within, as we said, within 15 years, not down the empire of Persia. We keep emphasizing on this to see the importance of that state. Knocked down the empire of Persia and kicked out the empire of Roman from Bilad al-Sham and North Africa. So, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he collected the information. Then we talked about the positions of the army, where they were camping. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذ أنتم بالعدوة الدنيا وهم بالعدوة القصوى والركب أسفل منكم إن أنتم بالعدوة الدنيا, you are in the valley that was closer to Medina. And the mushrikeen, they are in the valley that is further from Medina. And the battlefield of Badr was in between these two valleys. وَالرَّكْبُ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ. Look at this. وَالرَّكْبُ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ means what? Means the caravan of Abu Sufyan, the one that you intended from the beginning to go and capture, and it managed to run away. أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ, it was so close to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is planning for something. أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ, it's in a place called Sayf al-Bahr. Very close to Medina, far away from Medina. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to, for the haq to be dominate and to demolish and destroy the battle. وَلَوْ تَوَاعَدْتُمْ لَاخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِي الْمِيعَادِ. And if you were about to manage a mutual appointment, then you will fail in this. You will fail in making this appointment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this appointment. Why? For something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to accomplish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to accomplish. So those who were to be destroyed for rejecting the haq might be destroyed after a clear evidence. And those who were to live as believer might live after this with a clear evidence to see where is the haq and where is the batil. So we talked about these positions until now. The armies did not see each other. The Prophet ﷺ, he managed to guess the number of the mushrikeen when he questioned the three captured, or the three captives. When he came, three, asked them some questions, and he finds out how many they are. So based on this information that were collected by the intelligence department of the Prophet ﷺ, he decided to move right away to the valley of Badr. Since he wanted to decide himself, he wanted to decide the battle field and location. This is one of the major causes for victory. For you to decide that I want to meet the enemy in a strategic place in which I could control the battle better and I could execute my plan in a better way. So Rasulullah, he was advanced in moving towards the battlefield more than the mushrikeen. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his army arrived to Badr, the night of 17th of Ramadan, the year 2 of Hijrah, the night before the battle day. When he arrived over there, he chooses a place. We did talk about the discussion that took place between whom? Between Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the chief of the army, and the head of the state, and one of the soldiers, Al-Habbab ibn al-Mundhir. Discussion. Al-Habbab ibn al-Mundhir, he had experience in strategic planning. So he approached Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked him this question. He said, "Oh Rasulullah, is this a place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chosen for you? Or it is the strategic planning? I want to find out first. It is, if this is wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have no choice. No matter what, we don't care about the result. We don't care if we die in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All what I have to know is it a wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or this is something we have to say something about it? Or we could comment, or we could give some suggestions." Then Rasulullah, "No, it is a strategic planning, so it's not wahi." Then he said, "Okay, now I can talk." He said, "Oh Rasulullah, this is not the right place. It's not wahi. I can't give my opinion now. When it comes to the wahi, there's no opinion. All the opinions drop down When the wahi is there, we have to follow the wahi, no matter what the result is. There is no ifs and buts here. So he said, "Oh Rasulullah, this is not a strategic place." He said, "Okay, what's your thinking?" He said, "Oh Rasulullah, I would suggest to go and destroy all the water wells that resides in the enemy's area, and we keep one for us. So we drink, and they don't drink." And by the way, if it happens that you visit that place is very dry, and it is a desert. It is sandy. The mountains are mounds of sand, and it's the sand that moves. You know, it's like the yellowish color. And alhamdulillah, I visited that place 2 years ago, and I reached there. I see the even the wolves. Some of the wolves they were still exist, and they are walking, and then they have some water and stuff like that. So at that point, it is a very strategic thinking that we keep the water for us and we do not keep it for them. So we drink and they don't drink. Then Rasulullah, he accepted this from Al-Habbab ibn al-Mundhir, and he followed the plan of Al-Habbab ibn al-Mundhir. During this night, two things happened. And since today, the major subject is the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that helped and that were used in the favor of the Muslimin. Two things happened, and these are among the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. Nobody knows. Nobody knows the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except him. Sometimes the ant is a soldier. Sometimes the mosquitoes is a soldier for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that could be used to make the Muslimin victorious if they deserve victory. If they meet the same features and characteristics of the army of Badr. Two things happen. These things gave the Muslimin tranquility and stability and security. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says in Surah Al-Anfal, إِذْ يُغَشِّيَكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْهُ وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً لِيُطَهِّرَكُم بِهِ وَيُذْهِبَ عَنكُم رِجْزَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَرْبِطَ عَلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتَ بِهِ الْأَقْدَامَ. These two soldiers are the rain and the slumber. They felt sleepy. They slept. We are talking about what? We are talking about the night before the battle. Can you imagine this? If you are sitting in your house, locking the locks, and if you have, let's say, 2% of probability that somebody might break through your house to steal or do something, would you sleep? You won't sleep. Fear won't allow you to sleep. Because you don't feel security. You don't feel safety. You don't feel the stability. You don't feel the tranquility. How about when you are in the desert? You are about to face an army. Their number is 3 times your number. And they are more equipped than you. And you left Medina to go and take over a caravan, so you were not very well prepared. And at that night, you go into a deep sleep. This is the tranquility. This is a sign, this is a signal from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that calm down, relax, don't worry, I am with you. You see, I am making you sleep. Not that only, no, not an sleep, a deep sleep that led to a wet dream. You see how much tranquility they had in their mind. Okay, they woke up in the morning. Now we have a problem. They start having the waswasa of shaitan. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when he covered you with slumber, as tranquility and security, and sent down upon you water from the heavens, so that you might purify yourself. You have a problem with this? Purity, here's the water. Take a shower. Tranquility, peace, security. Okay? What is the purpose of this water also? And to remove from you the impurity of shaitan, the waswasa of shaitan, that this something happened while you are sleeping, it might not be a good sign. No, it's a good sign. You are sleeping, you have tranquility, you have peace, you have safety, you're good, and then here's the water, drink, take a shower. What else? So that he might strengthen your heart. Tranquility means strong heart. And make your feet firm. How is that going to make the feet firm? Just to understand this, go to the beach. Walk on the sand that has no water in it, and walk on the sand that's close to the water. Which one is firm? Which one you have like problems in walking? Of course, the other part. But the one that's wet, full of water, that makes your feet firm. You walk smoothly. And the rain that was coming down on the Muslimin, it was very smooth rain. On the other hand, there was rain. But that rain was some sort of a thunderstorm that led to flood, in which it was an obstacle in front of them, so they were late in coming to the battlefield. So Rasulullah had time to set up all of his plan. This is a soldier from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was given to the army that deserves this. The following day, now, it is the day of Badr. It is the zero hour of the first, the greatest, the decisive day between Haqq and Batil. The day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make the army of Islam victorious. The day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the state of Islam to be victorious. Now the armies see each other face to face. Muslims see the mushrikeen, and the mushrikeen, they see the Muslimin. Rasulullah, as we said, he was the head of the state and he was the chief of the army. He's not like the leaders and the chief of the army nowadays. They sit in the palace and they send the commands and the orders to the army by the phone. No. He was in the battlefield. He was himself organizing the lines. And he did set up the army of the Muslimin in lines like the Salah. And this was the first time this tactic has been done in the Arab, fighting. Rose. And he started giving the commands. And he started giving the instructions. He made very straight lines. As the Imam always say, foot to foot, shoulder to shoulder, make straight lines. Exactly. Not in the Salah, in the battlefield. In the battlefield. And he started giving the instructions. How to use your weapon? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا أَكْتَبُوكُمْ means if they approach you. فَرْمُوهُمْ بِالنَّبْلِ Then shoot arrows at them. But do not use your arrows. Do not waste them. Instructions to keep your ambition. Don't waste them. Work, think according to the plan. In this, instructions and setup, one of the features comes up of the victorious army. That is the direct contact and interaction between the leader and the soldiers. The leader, he was in direct contact, talking to them, fixing the lines. One story that happened at this that shows how Rasulullah was teaching us that this army to be victorious, it can't be like a secular army or an army that fight for kings or fight for certain people. This army fights for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the leader of the army is with the army, with the soldiers. During preparing the line, Rasulullah had a stick. where he fixing the lines. When he was going between the lines, one of the Sahaba, his name was Sawad ibn Aziyah. Sawad ibn Aziyah, looks like he had a big belly, and his shirt did not cover all of his belly, and it was shown. And he was one step ahead of the line. So his line was not straight. So Rasulullah ﷺ came and he hit him on his chin. And he told him, straighten your lines, O Sawad. Now look at the amazing response of Sawad. He said, Ya Rasulullah, awja'tani fa'aqidni. O Rasulullah, you hurt me. I have to take the revenge now. Can you imagine this? Can you just for a second think of what is the relationship between if it happens nowadays, they will take him to what? They will take him to a military court and execute him maybe. How would you talk to the general in such a way? But this is not the general. This is the chief of the army and the head of the state. You are telling him that I'm gonna, you know, for this small, simple, silly hit, you want to take a revenge? And the Rasulullah, his response was not in the same form. Rasulullah said, he did not tell him, what are you talking about? See, we are facing an army, we are about to start the battle. It's not an issue of, I hit you, you hit me, straight in your minds. Rasulullah could have done this. But Rasulullah, he had direct contact with his soldiers. He doesn't want to feel them that they are alone. He wants them to feel that I am with you. I have the same feeling. I have the same emotions. I have the same thing that you have in your mind. So he wants to hit the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went back to Sawad. And he uncovered his belly and gave him the stick. And he told him, okay, right, take your revenge. Now, Sawad would do what? Right away, he would go and he hugged the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he kissed him on his belly and he said, Rasulullah, why you did that? ما حملك على هذا يا سواد? Why you have done that, O Sawad? Then Sawad said, O Rasulullah, you see what we are about to start. You see what we are about to start. And he said, I wanted to leave this dunya and the last thing happened to me that my skin touched your skin. My skin touch your skin. This is the mentality that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built in those Sahaba. This is the mentality that made this army victorious army. So if the Ummah nowadays would seek victory and to be victorious, we have to have the same characteristics. We have to have the same features. This is the mentality. This is the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built up those armies. This is the victorious army. This is the army, 300 people. That was the seed that knocked down Persia, that knocked down Roman. That army itself. Rasulullah ﷺ, now he did his job, prepared the army, set up the plan, and now he moved into the next step. Before the battle starts, what's that next step? That next step is to seek the help and the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I did my job. I did all of my efforts. We planned. We collected the information. We sent the intelligence. We did all of our job. To the best of our knowledge, we did our part. Now, we want the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah, he said, the first thing that he said in front of all of the Muslims, and he made sure that they hear it in this dua. He said, Allahumma hadhihi Quraysh qad aqbalat bi khuyala'iha wa fakhriha tuhadduka wa tukadhibu rasulak. اللهم فنصرك الذي وعدتني اللهم أحنهم الغداة. Oh Allah, this is Quraysh that came with all types of arrogance, fighting you Disbelieving in your prophet, O Allah, provide me with your victory, with the victory that you promised me. O Allah, destroy all of them. And even when Rasulullah he left Medina, he was doing this dua all the times. He used to say about this group of Sahaba, اللهم إنهم حفاة فاحملهم اللهم إنهم عراة فاكسهم اللهم إنهم جياع فأشبعهم. O Allah, they are on their feet. Provide them mount on them. O Allah, they are naked. Clothe them. O Allah, they are hungry. Provide food for them. And right before the battle starts, he continues seeking this victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and support and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. And he used to say, Allahumma anjiz li ma wa'attani. Allahumma ati ma wa'attani. Allahumma in tuhlik hadhihi al-isaba min ahli al-islami la tu'badu fil ard. O Allah, O Allah, fulfill your promise to me. O Allah, give me your promise to me. O Allah, if this isaba, a small group, if this isaba is destroyed today, then you won't be worshipped on earth. And he kept doing this dua, raising his hand up until his external garment falls down on the ground. Then Abu Bakr Siddiq, he felt sorry for him. And he came to him. He took his garment and he told him, Oh Rasulullah, enough. By Allah, Allah will definitely fulfill his promise. It's his promise. And the dua continues during the battle. Not by the Prophet ﷺ only, by all the army. Allah in the Quran says, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. تَسْتَغِيثُونَ, it is the plural tense. تَسْتَغِيثُونَ, a group. He did not say, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ. No, he says, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ. You, all of you, you are seeking help and support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah indeed, he did provide you with victory. I would like to comment a little bit, maybe for a few minutes, about the dua, which is very important. In the current situation of the ummah, we see the destruction in the ummah. We see the bloodshed in the ummah. We see the division among the ummah. We see the tyrants, the arrogance of the ummah nowadays, like Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, those tyrants, those puppets. And we see, in many cases, in many times, people, they just go and say, what? We have nothing but dua. On the member of Rasulullah sallam, everywhere we say, Oh Allah, destroy the rulers. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, show us your ajaib, your strength in them. This is not the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How would I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to destroy a tyrant if I am sleeping home? It won't happen. It won't work. If I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide this ummah with victory and to remove all of these tyrants from power, then I have to be in a position, to work in their removal. While I am in this position, I am asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me out while I am doing this. This is one of the simple requirements for us to make dua, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer us and provide the ummah with victory. Without this, it's not going to work. This is how our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teaching us. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not go and do this aggressive dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the point that his clothes fall down. To the point that Abu Bakr, he was looking at him and he was sorry for him that he keeps asking and asking and asking. After what? After he prepared the army in Medina, after he moved outside Medina, after he prepared the army in the battlefield, after he gave the instructions, after he did all what it takes from his side to be successful in this battle, then he went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and ask for his help and for his support. The strange thing, brothers, Abu Jahl was doing dua as well. Abu Jahl really was doing dua. And look at the statement he used, as if he's doing dua against himself and his army. He used to say, Allahumma aqta'ana lirrahm wa atana bima la na'rifu fa ahinhu al-ghada. Oh Allah, the one who cut ties with his relatives. Who cut ties with his relatives? Who kicked them out of Mecca? Who punished them? Who killed Sumayya and Ammar? Allahumma aqta'ana lirrahm wa atana bima la na'rifu. And he brought to us something that we don't know. فَأَحِنْهُ الْغَدَىٰ. Oh Allah, destroy him. اللهم أيونا كان أحب إليك وأرضى عندك فانصره اليوم. Oh Allah, provide victory to the one that you love. This is the dua of Abu Jahl, the head of the kufr. If we just think about this, it's really strange. Making dua for what? There's no, in the seerah, of course, somebody would explain, or Abu Jahl, he was saying this because of this. No, but if you would like to study the status of Abu Jahl and the status of all the tyrants, those tyrants, they reach a level. They reach a level that they think themselves they are on the right path. Fir'aun, what he used to tell these people? مَا أُرِيكُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَرَى. What I show you is what I see good for you. So that is the tyrant. When they reach this level that they think themselves they are on the right path, Abu Jahl used to know that Quran was truthful, was haq, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a prophet. He knew he is right, but he was arrogant. That's why he was fighting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this dua came against him. And later on, inshallah ta'ala, I will mention this, that Abu Jahl himself, even though he was the head of the kufr, and as the Rasulullah explained him as he is the Fir'aun of this ummah, he was one of the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this day happen. To make this day happen. He was one of the soldiers, as the shaitan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used. They are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could move them the way he wants. So that was the dua of Abu Jahl. Now we are on the 17th day of Ramadan, the second year of Hijrah, the battle. And we will talk about, at the beginning, the first slain from the mushrikeen. How this will give, you know, an energy to the Muslimin, and it gives destruction in the emotions of the mushrikeen. Before the battle started, as we said, the two armies are facing each other. One of the mushrikeen, not any mushrik, one of the elites, not any elite, from one of the strong tribes, famous tribes, the tribe of Abu Jahl, Bani Makhzum. His name was Al-Aswadu ibn Abd al-Atad al-Makhzumi. And he was also very arrogant. And he had an oath, a qasam, that I will go and reach that well and drink from it. The well that was kept by the Muslimin. Very arrogant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Fatir says, أَثَمَنْ ذُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَأَهُ حَسَنًا. It's like the one who sees his action beautiful. He sees the worst of his action, the bad of his action, as beautiful action. So this guy, he wanted to what? Fulfill his oath. So he starts moving towards that goal. He wants to go and drink. But he met with the lion of Islam, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib, and he hit him with his sword and he chopped his leg. Did he stop? No. Arrogance, kafir. He starts crawling. moving on his stomach. He wanted to reach the wall. Then Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu ardah, he came to him and he finished him up. That was a very good sign to the Muslimin and bad sign on the Mushrikeen. So the anger started like moving in the heart of the Mushrikeen. This was the first, you know, round. The second round, three from the elite of Quraysh. They stepped out forward and they requested a dual fight. These are Utbah ibn Rabi'ah from the elites. Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, his brother Shaybah ibn Rabi'ah, and his son Al-Walid ibn Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, and they requested a dual fight. Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, he used to be known as a wise man, smart, but he was imma'ah. Imma'ah means the man who has very solid, strong opinion and advice, but at the end, he just follow his tribe. Even though they would go in the wrong direction, he would follow his tribe. Even though he was insisting to go back, and he was insisting to go back because the caravan was safe. Why do we have to go and fight? We should go back and keep our army and keep. But nobody listened to him. But yet, he continued with the army. Not that only, he would be the first to go and fight. Rasulullah ﷺ said, "In yakun fi ahad al-qawmi khair." He was talking about him. If there is something good in those people that we see, so it's going to be in the man with the red camel. And the man with the red camel is Utbah. إِن يُطِيعُوهُ يَرْشُدُهُ. If they listen to him, they will be safe. But they did not, and they went and with the arrogance of Abu Jahl. Now those three knights, Fursan, they requested a duel. Three from the Ansar came out. They said, no, we need somebody from our cousins. We need this fight to be Quraysh against Quraysh. Okay. The Ansar went back. Now Rasulullah ﷺ has to choose three. And look what Rasulullah ﷺ he picked. He said, قُمْ يَا عُبَيْدَةَ إِبْنُ الْحَارِثِ. Stand up. Move on. عُبَيْدَةَ إِبْنُ الْحَارِثِ. عُبَيْدَةَ إِبْنُ الْحَارِثِ إِبْنُ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. His cousin. And then, قُمْ يَا حَمْزَةَ. Move on, O Hamza. His cousin, his uncle. Then, قُمْ يَا عَلِي إِبْنُ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. Now, the ministers and the kings, where's their kids? Where's their relatives? In a very high rank in the state. Who's fighting? The poor. Rasulullah, he did not choose anybody, no. He was choosing somebody from his own relatives. So he's pushing them. You don't know, that's a dual fight. They might die, but those people, they are going for one sake. The sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other people, they want to please who? Abu Jahl or Al-Lath or Hubal? They have no objective. There was defect and dispute in their army. From the time they left Mecca until they were defeated in the Battle of Badr. There was like different narrations in how this took place and who fight with who, but Imam Ahmad and Abi Dawood, he said that Ali was fighting with Shaybah, and Hamza was fighting with Utbah, and Ubaidah ibn al-Harith was fighting with Al-Walid ibn Utbah, and it did not last for a few minutes. Hamza killed Utbah, and Ali ibn Talib killed Shaybah, and Al-Walid, he wounded Ubaidah ibn al-Harith, then Hamza and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum went and finished Al-Walid ibn Utbah. And within few minutes, four from the elite of Quraysh were killed. Again, sign of victory. Sign, good sign for the Muslimin and bad sign for the Mushrikeen. And after that, a very comprehensive attack happens
in all places. The chanting of the Muslimin covered the earth with their slogan, Ahadun Ahad. That was their slogan in the Battle of Badr. Ahadun Ahad was shaking the whole area. You don't hear anything except the sound of the swords. You don't see anything because the dust covered all of the area. Direct contact between the Haqq and the Batil. Right away. At that moment, the Muslimin, they need what? They need encouragement. What would encourage the Muslimin in this position? Rasulullah ﷺ, with a very high voice and sound, he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا يُقَاتِلُهُمُ الْيَوْمُ رَجُلٌ فَيُقْتَلُ صَابِرًا مُحْتَسِبًا مُقْبِلًا غَيْرَ مُدْبِرٍ إِلَّا أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ. By the one who has my soul in his hand, nobody fight them, and he dies with patience, moving forward, not backward, he will get into Jannah. So this type of war won't be understandable by any secular people, or any patriotic people, or any nationalistic mentality. Rasulullah is not promising them, a high position in the state if you win, or I will pay you like millions of golden dinars when you win. So it's basically what? Encouraging them to leave this dunya. He's encouraging them to live your life. Why? Because they're not fighting for this dunya. They are fighting for the akhirah. This is how he built their personality. Then Rasulullah said another hadith. While the battle is going on and the clash is happening, he said, قوموا قوموا إلى جنة عرضها السماوات والأرض. Stand up, move on. For what? Or a paradise. What's that paradise? The width of that paradise is as the width of heavens and earth. That's just one statement. One of the Sahaba, Umayr ibn al-Hammam, who was standing by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, while he's saying this, he just did it one time. Then Umayr said in amazement, he was surprised. The width of heavens and earth? Then Rasulullah told him, yes, that's it, just yes. He did not go and give him detailed what is Jannah, how it looks like. No, that's it, just. That all the explanation that he gave him, just. عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. And Umayr, he would take this one with full confidence that this is true. Then he said a word that the Arab used to say called Bakhin Bakhin. Bakhin Bakhin, this is a word of surprising. If you are, surprised or astonished or something, you say Bakhin Bakhin. So Rasulullah he said, why you say so? Why you are saying Bakhin Bakhin? Then Umayr said, why you are saying you don't believe this? He said, no, you know Rasulullah. لا والله يا رسول الله ما قلتها إلا رجاء أن أكون من أهلها. I said that just because I am hoping, I am wishing to be among the people of Jannah. Then الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم he gave him the news, you are among the people of Jannah. That's it. He's been taking a contract. Now look at this mentality. How did this Sahabi received this information, Umayr ibn Hayyan. How did he get it? He was eating some dates. He was eating some dates, and there's big difference now in his mind between the dates in Jannah and the birds in Jannah and the drink in Jannah and the fruits in Jannah and those simple, easy tamarat or dates that he used to eat to strengthen his body in the battle. Then he said, he dropped them on the ground, and he said, if I live to finish these tamarat, it's going to be a long time. Long life. How long did that take him? 2 minutes? 3 minutes? 5 minutes maximum? That's to him very long life. Why should I waste my time? Why should I waste this time if Al-Jannah is waiting for me and I have been getting a contract from Rasulullah that I am among the people of Jannah. This way the Sahaba and the Rasulullah was victorious in this battle. There's a lot of details about some of the stands of the Sahaba. The time won't be, you know, won't like cover them in one or two or three sessions actually. But this is to give an idea of what is the victorious army. And when this victorious army have these features, look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides them with victory and their soldiers. Now I'm going to go over a list of the soldiers of Allah in the battle of Badr. There's a lot. We could talk more and more, but we're going to pick the main and major soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will like giving these soldiers to the Muslimin. And this is from Quran, of course. And the study was driven from Quran. By the way, I want to just give the credit for the reference. This reference from a website called The Story of Islam for Dr. Raghib Sirjani from Egypt. And just, you know, giving him the credit, the way he put the whole, you know, structure and things. So, first of all, the Nasr comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This victory, or these soldiers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the Prophet and the Sahaba and the Muslimin, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained that in the battle, in the Surah Al-Anfal, when he said, وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرًا وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ بِهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ وَمَا النَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Those soldiers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, He's given you so He will establish tranquility in your hearts. And the victory, indeed, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first soldier of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, as we all know, al-Malaika. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anfal, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ. When you were seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He answered your seek, your request with what? With 1,000 of angels, murdifin, in a sequence. A group after another. A group after another. One of the Sahaba, Rabi' ibn Anas, said, another Sahaba, he's from the Tabi'een actually, but he mentioned this, and he said, أَمَدَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided the mu'mineen with 1,000, then they became 3,000, then they became 5,000 angels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in Surah Ali Imran, when he said, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided you and granted you victory in Badr, وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّ, when you were weak, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you may be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذْ تَقُولُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, when you are telling the mu'mineen, Muhammad, you are telling the mu'mineen, أَلَمْ يَكْفِكُمْ أَنْ يُمِدُّكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ, was it not enough for you when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided you with 3,000 soldiers from the malaika? And he says, بَلَا إِنْ تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا وَيَأْتُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْرِهِمْ هَذَا يُمْدِدْكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ خَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُسَوَّمِينَ. If you have patience and if you have taqwa, these are the conditions patience and taqwa, not to give up Islam, not to compromise Islam, not to seek help and support from United Nations or from the Security Council or from this or that. Seek the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after you start working to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this earth. You seek the help, you depend, you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He will give you these soldiers, 5,000 soldiers from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among the malaika. And Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He was in the battle just to, you know, give the sahaba push towards the work. He says, He used to explain and describe the malaika, and He used to say, هَذَا جِبْرِيل, this is Jibreel, I see Jibreel holding the head of his horse, wearing the armor, leading 1,000 of the angels. Bushra. Bushra means glad tidings. He's giving them, he's telling them this news at the right time. When this happens, then the tranquility and security and peace in heart will be there. Even the Sahaba in some of the narrations, they felt the existence of the angels in the Battle of Badr. Ibn Abbas narrates that one of the Ansar, he was chasing a man from the mushrikeen in front of him. And he said, all of a sudden, I heard a voice of a whip. And the knight was saying, Aqdim Hayzum, move forward, O Hayzum. Then I looked at the mushrik that I was chasing. I found him was killed, and his head was like chopped, and his face was chopped, and he became green. Then this Sahabi came to Rasulullah ﷺ and he told him the story. And then Rasulullah ﷺ said, Sadaqt, you are right. ذَلِكَ مَدَدٌ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ الثَّالِثَةِ. This was a support, this Hayzum. He came from where? From the third heaven. And the Sahaba used to distinguish between whom being killed by the Muslimin and whom being killed by the Kuffar with the color. Because the color, the whip, used to leave a green color on them. So this is on the kuffar, from the angels, yes, who been killed by the angels. That was the first soldier, or one of the soldiers. The second soldier, which is very important, the fear. How? The fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala injected in the heart of the mushrikeen. Rasulullah says, نُصِرْتُ بِالرُّعْبِ مَسِيرَةَ شَهْرٍ. In the Battle of Tabuk, Rasulullah said, I was granted victory through fear from a distance of month. From a distance of month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported the Muslim by this. When he said, in Surah Al-Anfal, سَأُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبَ. I will inject in the heart of the kuffar fear. Fear. The strange thing is what? That the one who has the larger number, he is scared from the one who has the little number. The one who think himself strong, he is scared from the one who think himself weak. Whom think they are weak. As I said, three times, the number was three times. Then tranquility and security, as we said, by sleeping. And then the rain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is putting in the heart of the Muslimin what? Tranquility and security. And in the heart of the mushrikeen, fear. Then the rain that came, that was, as we explained, that was one of the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is very interesting, is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first moment they meet each other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the mushrikeen see the kuffar very little in number, and the mushrikeen, the Muslimin saw them few. Allah again in Surah Al-Anfal says, "Is yurikahum Allahu fi manamika qalila." First, Rasulullah he saw them in his dream that they were few. Even though Rasulullah was able to guess the number, but in that sleep, while he's sleeping, he dreamed that they were few. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they meet each other, وَإِذْ يُرِيكُهُمْ إِذْ إِلْتَقَيْتُمْ فِي أَعْيُنِكُمْ قَلِيلًا وَيُقَلِّلْكُمْ فِي أَعْيُنِهِمْ. When they meet each other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made both little in the eyes of the others. Why is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا كَانَ مَفْعُولًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to accomplish something that has been decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, I was talking to somebody standing by me, besides me, next to me. He said, I think they are 70. أَتَرَاهُمْ 70? Do you think they are 70? Then the other Sahaba said, no, I think they are 100. Then they are 100. And Abu Jahl, la'atullah alayhi, he used to say what? إِنَّهُمْ أَكَرَةُ جَزُورُ. They are no more than what? 100 people. One jazur, one camel is enough for them. The akhirat jazur, they just eat one camel. One camel is enough for 100 people. And once the battle started, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flipped the picture. يَرَوْنَهُمْ مِثْلَيْهِمْ رَأْيَ الْعَيْنِ. When the battle started, the mushrikeen started seeing the kuffar, the mushrikeen started seeing the muslimin twice as the number of the mushrikeen. وَيَرَوْنَهُمْ مِثْلَيْهِمْ رَأْيَ الْعَيْنِ. They see them as 2,000. وَاللَّهُ يُؤَيِّدُ بِنَصْرِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لِعِبْرَةً لِلْأَبْصَارِ. Look how the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala work. Another soldier of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we talked about in detail, which is the division and the conflict that took place among the mushrikeen. We said at the beginning, almost 1,300 they left Mecca to fight the Muslimin, then 300 they defected and go back, and there was a lot of dispute, and they came by force. Abu Jahl, he is the one who forced them to come. Another soldier of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these two actually related to Abu Jahl. The killing of Abu Jahl in the battle. Abu Jahl was surrounding himself with a katiba min al-mushrikeen. Katiba, it's like a big block. A big block surrounding Abu Jahl to protect him in the battle. Listen to this story, which is very interesting, that was narrated by Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. He says, on the day of Badr, I was standing between two young men, ghulam, one on the right and one on the left. Young, hadithatun asnanuhuma. Yeah, I'm talking about thought, like 15, 16 years old, maybe less than that. And he said, فَغَمَذَنِي أَحَدُهُمَا. One of them, he signaled me. He gave me a signal. And he said, oh uncle, do you know Abu Jahl? He said, Abdul Rahman, yes. Why you are asking about him? He said, I was told that he was cursing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By Allah, if I see him, I won't leave him until either I kill him or he kills me. Then he was said, I was surprised by what he says. Then the one on the left, he signaled me. And he told me the same thing. Do you know who is Abu Jahl? Why? Because he was doing this to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they want to kill him. Then when Abdul Rahman saw Abu Jahl and he said, he just pointed to him. Then these two young men, they left like arrows, chasing each other. Who will get the honor of killing Abu Jahl? And both of them, they killed him. When they came to the Prophet ﷺ, each one was saying, I killed Abu Jahl. Then the other one said, I killed Abu Jahl. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, هَلْ مَسَحْتُمَا سَيْفَيْكُمَا. Did you wipe your sword? They said, no. Then show me your sword. When he looked at them, he said, Both of you killed Abu Jahl. Then the Rasulullah ﷺ, he took the spoils that were left by Abu Jahl to these two people. Abu Jahl himself was soldier of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say the soldier of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we mean that provides victory and to make that day happen. Abu Jahl was very arrogant. Abu Jahl was very dictator. The news came to him that the caravan was safe. The caravan was safe. There's no need for war. He said, no, we will get there. To Badr. We stay for 3 nights. We will slaughter camels. We'll eat. We will drink liquor and wine. And we will have those singers to sing and the dancer to dance. So the Arab will hear about us and they will be scared from us abada. This is one of the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Shaytan himself. Al-Shaytan, he came in a form of man called Suraqa ibn Jushum. He came and he as in that form, and Quraysh, they were waiting or expecting an attack from a tribe called Bani Bakr. So they were hesitating in going to fight with the Prophet ﷺ or not. This Al-Shaytan, he came to them and he told them, don't worry. I guarantee Bani Bakr, and I will take care of them. Because he showed as he's from Bani Kinana, and Bani Kinana was the allies of Quraysh. So he encouraged them to move and continue. Once he got there, he escaped and he ran away. And they told him, where are you going? He said, إني أرى ما لا ترون إني أخاف الله والله شديد العقاب. I see something that you don't see. I see something that you do not see. And before that, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, وَإِذَا زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. الشيطان came and he showed them that what you are doing is something great, something beautiful, something strong. You should move on. And he used to say, وَقَالَ لَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ الْيَوْمَ. Nobody can defeat you among the people. وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ. I will support you. I will protect you. فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَتِ الْفِئَتَانِ. When both armies see each other, نَقَصَ عَلَىٰ عِقِبَيْهِ. He ran away. وَقَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِنْكُمْ. I am innocent. I can't do anything. I see something that you do not see. So, this is the victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will conclude with these two statements. Even the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, when they talk about Badr, they say, this was a victory that was given to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali ibn Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu, what he said, فَقَتَلَ اللَّهُ عُثْبَةَ وَشَيْبَةَ بْنَي رَبِيعَةَ وَالْوَلِيد بْنُ عُثْبَةَ. He said, Allah, even though Ali, he killed one of them, and Hamza killed one of them, he said, Allah is the one who killed them. And Ubad ibn Samit used to say, خَرَجْنَا مَعْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَشَهِدْتُ مَعْهُ بَدْرًا. I went with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I witnessed the day of Badr. فَالْتَقَى النَّاسُ فَهَزَمَ اللَّهُ الْعَدُوُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defeated the enemy. This is the battle of Badr. And this is how it happened. And this is the features and the characteristics of the victorious army, in which they deserve those soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be in their side. So if the Ummah wants to achieve victory once again, we have to go and follow the steps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I would like to stop here, and next time, inshallah ta'ala, we will talk about the impact of the Battle of Badr in both the Mushrikeen and the Muslimin, and the impact of the Battle of Badr on the Arab Peninsula at large. If you have any questions, go ahead. If not, JazakumAllah khair.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sira are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.